Chapter 7, The Shadow of Spirit. As long as you stand in the light of truth, you are bound to have a shadow. This shadow, which is cast in the material world, is the outpouring of all desirable things. Plenty to eat, plenty to drink, plenty to hear, money, substance, expression, manifestation in whatever form needed. The ease with which a shadow is cast is the ease with which manifestations must come into the pictures when the recognition of the presence is made. Nothing is actually done as far as a shadow itself is concerned to make it appear. You step in the light, and the shadow automatically is. You step into the light of understanding. That is, you recognize the presence, and the manifestation must come into being without effort and without great acclaim. It is silent and natural. It appears the moment you step into the light. Are you going to accept this new day and the new way of manifestation? Or are you going to try to make the shadows appear? You see how hopeless it is to make shadows appear unless the light is there. It cannot be done, no matter however hard you try. And in reality, you have to let a shadow appear. You cannot do anything with it. You cannot make it go away. It is a thing that is, and it appears naturally. It is a reproduction after a fashion of you, and so all manifestation that you see in your universe is a reproduction of some state of your consciousness. Signs follow. Shadows follow the stepping into the light. The moment, at the identical instant you come into the light, the shadow is. At the moment you ask, even before you have time to formulate the petition, it is. Do you begin to see something that is quicker than the so-called thought process? Closer is he, the I am, than breathing, nearer than hands and feet. Pretty close, isn't it? And when you think that within this I am is all the power, then it begins to look interesting and begins to look as though all that is necessary is the recognition on our part of the presence. In a Belgium fish market, a husky fishwife cleaned her fish for years on a painted board, which she threw into the fish cart at night. One day, an art connoisseur happened along and noticed it. He bought it for a few sous and discovered that it was a valuable old masterpiece. Suddenly, it became a thing of great price. It was there all the time, but as long as it was unrecognized, it remained without value. Do you see? The recognition having been made, any fishwife that had dared to pass a knife over the surface of the same board would have been arrested as a vandal. Do you see? Why not get quiet and let this glorious nearness of the presence come into manifestation? Thousands of illustrations have been given from time to time, but all these are thrown aside, and man finds his own presence by a way that no other man knows. Send me, says the voice of the awakened soul. Send me into the new expression of the Son of the Living God. It is wonderful, and so it is. The new teaching, or the new revelation, is the oldest thing in the world. It is so simple we stumble over it. It is the acceptance of the presence as here and now, and in any form that is necessary, to set absolute harmony into manifestation. You will always have a shadow as long as you walk in the light. And no matter how many shadows are cast, nothing is taken from you and nothing is added to you. Do you see that nothing is added to the word, you, of God? And nothing can be taken from it. All else is but the shadow that is cast forth to offset some human belief in a power opposed to God. The Lord is my light. Then I will always have a manifestation, a shadow. Do you begin to see the revelation that is made by this illustration? That all the manifestations of the human world are but shadows, that we have given them power and have gone through the Adam process of naming everything and endowing things with evil power to harm or hurt us. It is not impossible for a man to be frightened at his own shadow. This silly thing has happened, and this idea can be carried on to a place where he knows that he has been frightened by mental shadows of things that never did exist in the material world. Do you begin to catch a glimpse of the light? Are you beginning to see also the shadow that is being cast? Arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of God has risen upon you. Your business is to arise to the point of recognition, and the rest will take care of itself. I am the light of the world. The I am in you is the light of your universe. A city that is set upon a hill, a state of consciousness, which recognizes the presence, cannot be hid. Remember that the light of God came before the human symbols of light. You have but to read through the beginning of Genesis to see that the light was commanded to shine before the sun. The material symbol of light was brought out. We are speaking of light that is of a higher rate of vibration than any light that could be made by material means. It is the light that could penetrate the thickest wall or the deepest depths. God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. The glorious laughter of joy that must thrill through your being once you have recognized the presence. God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And this was addressed to Sarah, who symbolizes that state of consciousness which says, I am too old to have a new idea or to grasp the new way. I have made too many mistakes, etc., etc. This glorious thing happened to her to show that no matter what state you are in, the new idea will be born to carry out the words of the scriptures. Anything is possible to God. You who read, no matter how old, how young, or how worn out you may be with systems, words, and beliefs, you too shall say, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. You know what kind of laughter that is. It is not a stage laugh, a make-believe laugh. It is one of those glorious ringing laughs that is the natural expression of a joy which cannot be restrained. It is this real quality that makes it contagious, so that all the others of your universe laugh with you. If you are subject to the spirit of light, then you are instantly released from the evils of the shadow world, of the material world. By not understanding these shadows, you have endowed them with power over you. Walk in the light. The wisdom of God brings understanding from within out. The wisdom of the human mind is from the outside in. The human mind judges from appearances, and hence its deductions are always erroneous. It accepts the mirage as real, simply because it appears to be real. This table, referring to a banquet table laden with choice viands, is but the outer expression or shadow of the condition of the consciousness within. It is the outpicturing which shows what I, the I am, have in the storehouse for you. Do you begin to sense the new order that is being established? No more are we trying to demonstrate the table. We are going back of all this to the point of recognition, which causes the table to appear where the table and banquet are necessary. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My cup runneth over. As soon as you step into the light, the shadow is produced. And that, too, in the presence of your enemies. In the presence of the greatest of all enemies, the belief in a power opposed to God, all the enemies of belief may be present, but they will be as naught in the presence of the new shadow that is cast by your coming into the light. No matter if your universe is filled with beliefs that substance is impossible to you, just the moment you recognize the presence, the shadow is cast into expression, and the spirit of the consciousness of the presence of God is the source of all supply, fills all space, no space is vacant thereof, and meets every good desire. You are not mourning any more, because you have found it. You are rejoicing, because it is materially manifested in your life. Therefore, you can rejoice that you are meek enough to let your Savior come into your life, the very material life. Do you hear? It distinctly says you are not mourning anymore. Do you hear? It is so. And do you hear the words, because it is materially manifested? The day has come when we are to see the thing as a reality. The day is here when we are to handle it with our hands and touch it. That is, the day of beautiful phrases and high-flown theories about God and the universe is over, and the day of reality and manifestation is at hand. The importunity of the prodigal knocking at the gate of his castle has sprung open wide the door of the materialized manifestation. It is no good to talk longer about God being all good and the all supplier, etc. The time has come when these words must be made manifest in a way there is no mistaking. There must be no more of the old theorizing. The promises are ready to come into manifestation in such a way that the man in the street can see, hear, and be instructed in the reality of God. Do you believe, beloved? It is so. The first heaven and the first earth are passed away. The first heaven and the first earth represent the exalted and theoretical idea we gained by the study of words. We were always imagining all sorts of things that should be true and were true, theoretically, but which manifests only in a very limited degree on the earth. We finally have come to a place where we are finished with theory. We are tired of words and promises. We are ready to have the new heaven and the new earth of which we read, the actual manifestation of something tangible and real. We do not want to live any longer in the imaginary world which says all is good, but which manifests nothing but evil on the plane of the physical. We are claiming our right and pressing our claim to that which we have been told is ours as the sons of the living God. We are laying claim to the manifestation of the perfect body, which is the resurrected body of which Jesus spoke, and which he showed to his disciples as having flesh and blood, and which lived in the world, but not of it, which had new and wonderful powers as natural laws working in its members. This is our heritage. Claim your right and press your claim. The new heaven and the new earth is that spiritualized matter and materialized spirit, which makes all one and one all. Man, then, is one with the whole universe, and it rushes to obey him. Now, how can anything be withheld from man when the doors of the universe are flung open to him? For the angel of the Lord has descended into the center of all, and the oneness of life in mineral, vegetable, animal, and human kingdoms is established. All things work together for the good. Everything is working with you in this new heaven and new earth. The very thing you are seeking is seeking you. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Send me. Here I am, Lord. Send me, send me, out into expression, the glorious freedom and willingness to be sent out into expression in the new day that is even now dawning, bespeaks the truth that you have left the shadows of human belief of formal limitations in the valley and have not turned back. Now you are ready to let go of them, to let the dead beliefs bury their dead. You are in a new day. There is no limitation, there is no terror. There is no lack. There is no want. The abundance of the fullness of the consciousness of good, no space is vacant of the fullness thereof, has made this so to you. Realize this so vividly in your material universe, in your material body, that you see it. Yet in my flesh shall I see God. You are the begetter, the conceiver, and the father-mother of whatsoever you visionize. You are the bringer out of the vision which is shown to you on the mount. You see that to vision a thing is to merely put it into reality. You are merely aligning yourself with this glorious power that is here, there, and everywhere. Human intelligence has gravity, the same as the earth has gravity, and it tends to go so far up and then descends. But the divine mind transcends all gravitation. It transcends all belief and all expressions of limited degrees, mentally and spiritually. It is that which will lift you above the realm of the beliefs which cause you to gravitate earthward and causes you to ascend to the plane of perfection. The human intelligence which judges from appearance has the weight of human belief, which holds it down. As soon as the human mind ceases to believe in a thing, then the weight of that thing goes. A fruit that has been accepted as poisonous, on being discovered free from poison, is instantly released from the gravity of the belief in poison, and so on. When you see that the gravitation of the earth belief of lack has no more power over you, you will ascend above a place of dollars and cents into a place of infinite substance. Do you begin to see, you who read this line? If thou knewest the gift of God, you are beginning to know this gift from God, this precious gift of revelation that is even at this instant being made manifest to you. If thou knewest the gift of God, you would not want any more for anything. This gift is so complete and full and so above the divided idea. The gift of God is eternal life. What are you going to do with it? Is it just another statement? Are you going to accept your gift? Stir up the gift that is in thee. It is already there. Stir it up into expression by recognizing that it is there.